Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Patriots, do you agree this is a Super Bowl team? Greg?
No. I think you guys are very good. I think the Patriots are very good. I think Drake May, I just said, I think he could potentially be an MVP guy down the stretch. I don't think the roster is quite there yet.
Are you doing it to spite me, though?
No, I'm not doing it to spite you at all. You asked me to give you a football opinion of a guy that watches a lot of football, and I'm giving you my opinion. And I know this has turned into a Patriots show, but there are actually other teams that are competitive in the league. And I think Vrabel could be coach of the year. I think Drake May could be an MVP candidate. I'm not debating any of the success.
Do you think the Bills are a Super Bowl team?
They wouldn't be my favorite.
Better chance than the Patriots.
They wouldn't be my favorite right now. They have a better chance than the Patriots.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
It's your final hour here. Final hour, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We're Boston Sports Original. And along with Boston, we're coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the islands. And don't forget, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And you can listen to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. What you just heard right there was Wake Up Barstool. That was Greg Olson talking with Portnoy. Who else was on the show? Was it
Gruden?
Oh, Gruden was the other guy on the show. So it's Gruden, Portnoy, and Olson. And they're talking Pat. And Portnoy sets up Olson to glaze the Patriots like everybody else has been doing. And in fairness, Olson did hit the brakes a little bit. And said he wasn't doing it just to spite.
Are you doing it to spite me, though?
Not just to spite Dave Portnoy. I believe him when he says that, you know, he doesn't think that the Patriots have the roster to be a Super Bowl contender, even putting the Bills ahead of them. And normally, I would take a statement like that and say, well, what else are they supposed to do? What's the roster? Where's the roster coming up short? Greg? I wouldn't say it like that, but you know what I mean. Like, where's the roster coming up short here? What are they lacking? Depth, okay. Lacking some depth, sure. That hasn't really come back to bite them yet. They were lacking plenty of depth in the running back room when Stevenson went down. They were lacking depth in the wide receiver room with no Kayshon Booty. And neither one of those came back to bite them against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road. They beat that team. And you know, maybe got a little closer at the end than you'd think after that interception from Drake May, which, by the way, I didn't even talk about that yesterday. I was so hyped up with the win. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that interception. That interception came after he got popped on the sideline there by the safety, Tyke Smith. And it was a bad throw. It was just a bad throw. I'm not saying it was bad to try and look in that direction, but it wasn't. The throw didn't go where he wanted it to. Smith, again, it was Tyke Smith who breaks off of his coverage, goes back there and gets in the passing lane and comes down with the interception. And that was a great play by him, no question about it. That was a tremendous play by Smith, for sure. But it was a bad throw. It was. Throwing into traffic like that, in that setting, in that situation, where a field goal makes it 8 points and you can't lose, even if Tampa goes down and scores, even if they drive the length of the field and get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, you're tied. You're not losing that game. And that's a lot of pressure on them to go down there and do that. All they had to do, sit on the ball a little bit, run down some clock, bring out the Aurora Borealis and kick the field goal, and boom, you're up eight. And instead, a little hero ball. And that was the one time it really came back to bite him. The aggressiveness came back to bite him a little bit. I didn't care for that. I didn't think that they needed to, do another big balls on the table type of move in that situation. I thought in that situation, kicking the field goal, making it an 8-point game, and putting all the pressure on Baker Mayfield. And by the way, Baker Mayfield has had some great fourth quarters, some great come-from-behind wins, and great game-winning drives. All of that is true about him. But 8 points, there's something a little bit different there. Because not only do you have to go in and score, you got to go in and score, and then you got to get a 2-point conversion after that just to send it to overtime. That's a lot of pressure on your offense, a lot of pressure. And I thought that was not – and it's maybe because it's the one that didn't work. Well, if it worked, Arcan, you would have said it was great. Right. But it didn't. So I'm criticizing it. And you can criticize that. That's open for critique. The decision to throw there, which was a, coaching decision. And then Drake May's decision to throw it where he threw it. I think all of that could be looked at as, not the best in that situation. Not exactly a particularly clutch play by the offense. Defense, very clutch. Coming back out there, that stop on fourth down, like all of that, tremendous. They had some very, very clutch moves there. When they gave up the touchdown, it was, at that point they were up the 2 scores. Big deal. But for some reason, despite the fact that they're on a 7-game win streak, despite the fact that they've outplayed just about everybody else in the AFC playoff picture, they're playing better than the Broncos right now. They're playing better than the Colts right now. They're certainly playing better than the Bills and the Chiefs right now. There's no one's doubting that. They, right now, on the Vegas odds, and I'm looking at FanDuel, and all of them are the same, I believe, they are number 11 on the list. And here's how it looks. At the top of the odds, with the best odds at plus 550, are the Kansas City Chiefs, who right now, as of right now today, are not a playoff team. Not a playoff team, and yet still Super Bowl favorites. Followed closely by the Los Angeles Rams at plus 650, the Eagles at plus 750, Detroit 850, Buffalo 900, the Seahawks 1,000, Baltimore 1,400, Green Bay 1,500, Denver 1,900, and then the Patriots at 2,200. They're ahead of the Chargers at 3,000, Tampa at 3,000, San Francisco 3,500. Then it drops down a lot to like Houston and Jacksonville at 7,000 and 8,000. Now, what's interesting to me about that is the Patriots have the second best odds to make the playoffs behind Philadelphia. They have the best odds to win the AFC East. But when it comes to who's going to be the winner of the AFC Championship game, which you can bet on right now, Kansas City once again ahead. It goes Kansas City at plus 290, Buffalo 450, Indy 470, Baltimore 700, Patriots 750. So Vegas, still skeptical. Still skeptical about you and what you are and what you're all about. And if you're for real. Yes, you're beating teams in the regular season. Yes, you're even beating good teams in the regular season. But we don't believe you yet, Vegas is saying. And I know, and I said this to start off the show, but I'll repeat it again here because it's important. When Vegas sets these odds, they're doing it to get action. They're doing it to get as much action as they can on both sides of the bet. All right, that's what they want. They're not necessarily saying that we think that the Chiefs are the best team or that Buffalo's better than you or that any of these teams are necessarily better than you. They're going by what they think the public perception is. They're going by how they think the public is going to bet. And even though the Patriots are very good right now, if you asked your average NFL fan, who do you think is more likely going to be in the Super Bowl this year, Mahomes and the Chiefs or Drake May and the Patriots, most of them are probably going to say the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs are always in the Super Bowl. They're always there. They don't always win it, but they're always there. Buffalo, that's a team that's dominated the AFC East for a couple of years now. The Colts is an interesting one. The Colts at plus 470 are third behind the Chiefs and the Bills, ahead of the Ravens for the AFC Championship game winner. And they have twice as good odds as you to win the Super Bowl. The Patriots are at plus 2,200. The Colts are plus 1,100. What's special about the Colts that the Patriots don't have? That's what I don't get. What makes the Colts such a better bet? Their quarterback's not as good. Do they have a better all-around team? I don't know. Do they? I don't know that they do. They just made a big trade because their secondary was kind of weak. You know, like they had some injuries in the secondary and had to go out and make a big trade for Sauce Gardner. And Sauce Gardner kind of got smoked by Drake London, which everybody's getting smoked by Drake London this year. But you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think he was super impressive in that game. And the Colts felt they needed him. And if the Colts had made, like, you know, some depth piece moves or, you know, a wide receiver or something like that, they traded 2 first-round picks to bring in Gardner. You don't do that if you're feeling great about your secondary, if you're feeling great about your defense. And the Colts also had a loss recently to the Steelers where they looked worse than the Patriots and Drake May have looked all season long. And yet, they're plus 1,100. The Patriots are plus 2,200. Well, the Colts' schedule's harder, Arcand. Okay. How come the hard schedule doesn't affect the MVP odds or the Coach of the Year odds? Riddle me that. If the Patriots are 11th on the Super Bowl list because, well, you know, their schedule's so easy, well, then how's Drake May the odds-on MVP? How's Mike Vrabel the odds-on Coach of the Year if they're both part of the same easy schedule? Drake May's just beaten bad teams. How's he the MVP? Mike Vrabel's team's beaten all these bad teams. How are they the MVP? Why does that apply to the entire team but doesn't apply to those two guys? I don't understand that. No one's been able to explain that one to me at all. Nick Costos, some of the wise guys want to call in and explain that to me. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear why the benefit of the doubt is completely gone when it comes to the entire team, but when it comes to Drake May and Mike Vrabel, oh yeah, there's your MVP, there's your Coach of the Year, and the fact that they both played that easy schedule has no bearing on it whatsoever. Yeah? Well, then why does it apply to the team? Why does it apply to their Super Bowl odds? I think there's some, in the schedule obviously is a big part of it, but I also wonder if maybe the recent examples of teams like the Patriots, like the Commanders last year, with their successful young quarterback and their new head coach, Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. When that happens, teams and their fans get this feeling of like invulnerability, right? You get that one year where the rookie quarterback just goes off, the new head coach, it seems like everything's clicking. The Commanders won 12 games last year. They make it to the NFC Championship game. They win 2 playoff games against Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, and then they blew out Goff and the Lions in the second round before they got absolutely smoked by the Eagles, but whatever. No one cared. I mean, no one in Washington was like, oh, no, we lost to the Eagles. It was a party for the whole offseason. Commanders are riding high. They got a quarterback who's going to be an MVP soon. We got a head coach who seems to have it all figured out. This team is going to be great for years to come, and now they're 3-7. In their last 4 games, they lost by 3 scores or more. They're getting their ass kicked this year, and I know Daniels has been hurt. And they've had to go to other people. But, you know, it's just all part of the process, right? How about the Texans in 2023? 10-7. Win a playoff game. New head coach. Rookie quarterback. Seemed like everything was in place for that team to take a huge leap and be considered among the best teams in the AFC. That's how they were being talked about. That's how Houston Texans fans were feeling. We're on top of the world. We're invincible. We got Stroud. We got more. We got not Morris. The hell's the name of that coach? We got everything we need, and that was not enough. D'Amico Ryan's not the. You know what I meant, but that was it. They felt like they were on top of the world. 2 years later, they're firing their offensive coordinator. They've redone the roster. They had Diggs in there for a little bit. He got hurt. They brought in Christian Kirk, and some of these other. People to try and help out Stroud, and they're not bad this year. Their defense is carrying them, though. It's really all about that defense. And I wonder if maybe that has something to do with it, too. If maybe the general public's like, you know, we've seen this before. We've seen this happen before, these teams with the new coach and the new, and maybe not the new quarterback, but like the hot young quarterback. You catch lightning in a bottle for a couple of weeks. You look like world beaters. Then all of a sudden some team puts you in your place in the playoffs, and then the next year you come back and you realize, oh, it's not so easy anymore. Maybe our record's not as good. Maybe, the schedule's not as easy. Maybe, who knows, you know, any of those things. But there is a bit of a precedent that's been set here in the last 4 or 5 years anyway with some of these other teams. And that's all stuff you worry about next year, right? Like, if you're the Patriots, you worry about keeping it going next year. Right now, this team's on pace to win, like, what, 12, 13 games? They're on pace to have a bye in the playoffs. They're on pace to not have to play until it's a home division game. They win that game, they're going to the AFC Championship game and likely playing another home game in that one, too. And then it's, you know, next stop Super Bowl. And all those odd makers are going to feel pretty dumb, aren't they? But I'm going to be keeping my eyes on this. I'm keeping my eyes on these odds and when this perception is going to actually shift. Because if you listen to the national pundits, most of them have come back over to the Patriots side. It's not, maybe not after that Atlanta game, but certainly after this Bucs game. And you want one? How about Chris Sims on his Unbuttoned podcast? Gross. Here's what he had to say about the Patriots.
New England's a different animal, as we talk about. And right in New England, we watched them again yesterday. And I think that was another little, you know, check the box. Like,
Yep.
You know, I said this to Florio earlier today. I still feel like people are waiting are not sold on the Colts and the Patriots. Like,
I would
agree. They're going to fall off, right? And I'm like, no. They're going nowhere. And like New England especially. I think New England's going like this right now. I think they're getting better and better as we go here. But that was somewhat of a landmark-type win for Vrabel in year one to go down to Tampa. And I know Tampa's not at full strength, but they're still a Super Bowl contender to win that game on the road and have moments of really controlling the football game. I thought was really quite impressive by the New England Patriots.
I thought it was impressive too, Chris Sims, and that's just a small sample size of all the love and praise that they've been getting. Tony Kornheiser on PTI says they're going to win the AFC East, Vrabel's going to be coach of the year, etc. I mean, Mark Schlereth, Patriots are a top three team. Rich Eisen, Super Bowl team. Colin Cowherd, they're legitimate contenders. Go down the list. The national narrative after that win over the Bucs has gone very pro-positive towards the Patriots, 100%. But there are some holdouts. Olsen's one of them, and Vegas is the other one. And that's the one. That's the one that I'm still a little... Why haven't they come around yet? What are they hesitant about? What do they still need to see? I guess we'll all find out, and we'll see if those odds move. They got three games coming up against three more cream puff teams. We'll see if that makes a difference. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Randy's in Providence. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
So, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm real excited about the Patriots. They're doing better than I thought I would. I was an optimist coming into the year. But I do think that if you look into the stats, there are a couple red flags that have me mildly concerned. The number one red flag is they are dead last in red zone percentage. Okay. 73.91% of the time. Mm-hmm. So that's 17 out of 23 attempts. The other team scored a touchdown, not just a field goal, but a touchdown. So to put that in perspective, the best team in the league, Denver, is 37.5%, and about average, the mean is 60%. So they're a bit above where you want to be. The kind of silver lining of that particular stat is that 2.3 attempts per game is the lowest in the NFL.
Yeah.
So they're not letting people into the red zone much, but when they get in there, they're getting a touchdown, generally speaking. So, and then two other stats that have me mildly concerned about.
All right, go quick, man.
Is that, yeah, the first quarter scoring, the opponents, the defense is 26th.
Mm-hmm.
In the league and allowing first quarter scoring. So it's like, yeah, you can allow first quarter scoring to like Carolina or, you know, Miami or whatever, but.
Or Tampa Bay, which they just did, Randy. They just did it with Tampa Bay. That's a playoff team, the Tampa Bay Bucs. They scored in the first quarter. I know exactly what you're saying, and I understand your argument, but that was the argument that I made. It was, hey, you can't keep doing this. You can't do this against a good team. You let a good team do that to you in the first quarter, and it's not going to be like Cleveland or Carolina or any of these teams. The Tampa Bay Bucs marched down the field. Igbuka was wide open, busted zone coverage. He moonwalked into the end zone, and we all thought the same thing, right? Up, here it is. They're playing a real team, and they're having these same problems. They're not going to be able to get away with it against the Bucs, and they did, right? I mean, they did. Maybe in the playoffs, who knows? They play a team better than Tampa, I don't know. But Tampa Bay did that same thing to them. That's a 6-2 team. That is a top team in the NFL right now, over in the NFC. And they had the same thing. They scored on the first drive, and the Patriots came back and beat them. and they've been doing that all year. So, you know, I understand what you mean, and I would like to see him tighten things up in the first quarter, but it just has not come back to bite him yet against the bad teams or the good teams, for that matter. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's Joe Brady. By the way, did that guy sound like Doug Kide, or am I crazy? Did Randy in Providence sound just like Doug Kide? I thought first he called in, I was like, is this Doug?
Maybe not exactly, but a little bit.
Sound like Doug with like a like as an alias, you know, like a sports talk radio alias. But I'm guessing it probably wasn't him. You only want to talk to me once in a night. You don't want to call back, talk to me some more. Who would ever want to do that? Anyway, here's Joe Braverman. You just heard his voice there. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we got the Arcan Fire coming your way.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Another day of practice for the Patriots as they gear up for their Thursday night showdown with the New York Jets. Austin Hooper did not practice due to a concussion. Joshua Farmer was also a DNP. Limited were Kayshon Booty, Christian Ellis, Jack Gibbons, Terrell Jennings, and Ramondre Stevenson. Full participants were Christian Barmore, Garrett Bradbury, Kalevon Chasen, Jalen Hawkins, Travion Henderson, Marcus Jones, Marte Mapu, and Charles Woods. Off the field, the Pats signed running back Jonathan Ward to the practice squad. They released wide receiver Brendan Rice to correspond. Bruins are riding a six-game winning streak, and they lead it with under 12 minutes to go in the third period over the Maple Leafs from TD Garden 4-3. They had a 4-1 lead early on in the second period, thanks to David Pastrnak's 400th career goal. But 2-1 answered from Toronto. Bruins are on the power play, however, so we'll keep track there. Celtics are also in action. They're in Philadelphia taking on the 76ers. And at halftime, it's 51-41. Philadelphia on top of the Celtics. Leading scorer for the C's are actually three players. Jaylen Brown, Luka Garza, and Anthony Simons all have 7 points. Andre Drummond, who's starting for Joel Embiid, has 10 points. And Tyrese Maxey has 8 points. Also in the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks have fired general manager Nico Harrison following fan outrage from last February's trade of Luka Doncic. Boston College men's basketball hosted Central Connecticut from Conti Forum tonight. They picked up the win. And in Major League Baseball, Stephen Vogt was the AL Manager of the Year. Alex Cora was represented by the Red Sox. He finished fourth. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. Bruins up by two, about 8.5 left to go in the third. David Pastrnak scored his 400th goal. Congratulations to him. Bravo. Big one for the Bees. Hopefully they can hold on and win, but that two-goal lead is the most dangerous in all of sports. Keep you posted on what they're up to, but right now it is time for the Arcan Fire.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
Are you looking for another job, Arcan?
Not at the moment, I'm not.
You're not looking for any kind of side gig along with hosting this show and various other shows on this station?
At the moment, no. Just in case Ken or Mike are listening, no, absolutely not. I would never.
Well, I mean, there is a potential if you wanted to head down to Atlanta and become the new man known as The Freeze. That's
really
right.
Guy who runs in the baseball
yep,
games.
The Atlanta Braves posted a job alert, and Zach has it up on Twitch for the exact description. It is known as mascot sprinter. It's with the Atlanta Braves, and it would be part time. So
I don't like that. There's the new Freeze. I thought the Freeze was like a guy. It's like, what is it, like 007? There could just be a new James Bond now and all the time. Like, there's new Freezes all the time. I don't like that. I didn't realize that it was Because I remember there used to be a different Lucky the Leprechaun, right? The Lucky the Leprechaun that we see now, that fresh-faced young lad, was not always Lucky the Leprechaun. Lucky the Leprechaun used to be this other guy who, I remember he got in like a bar fight in Quincy or something like that. There was a whole story about that. And then they moved on to this other guy, the less problematic Lucky the Leprechaun. And that was, I didn't like that either. But at the very least, I sort of got it. Okay, well, you know, eventually someone else has got to be Lucky the Leprechaun. I thought the Freeze was just one guy. So now they got to find some other fast guy. I'm not fast enough to be the Freeze. There was a time where I was pretty fast. When I was like in middle school, I was pretty fast. But these days, are you kidding me? These days, my three-year-old son, like I'm running backwards, but he's running past me. We're running around, you know, he's at the playground. All of a sudden he gets out, he starts running. I'm like, oh, God, I got to go catch him now. I'm winded like four strides into it. No. I'd love to. Listen, whoever takes that job, it's a cool job. You get to wear a cool suit. You get to run and run past all these people and in front of a big crowd and look cool. That's cool. But I'd look more, you know what I'd look like? I'd look like the guy in the sausage race if I tried to do the Freeze. I'd be like, I'd be all awkward. I'd fall down. It would be a whole horrible thing. So while I do appreciate that that is a job opening, although I do think they should call it something else, the guy who was the Freeze should be the Freeze. Have there been multiple Freezes, or was there just the one and then the Freeze retired? That's what I'd like to know. Because if that's the case, if there was just one Freeze and now they're going to replace him with another Freeze, don't love that. If there's been a bunch of different Freezes, then who cares? But no, I'd say that job is not for me. Who do I think would make the best Freeze here at the station? Who's probably got the best foot speed? I know Jones runs. Mego could be the Freeze. But I don't know. Like they're both like distance runners. They like run every day. I don't know how fast they actually are. Like a lot of people run, but they're not fast. I don't know. I'd go with like Jones and Mego, like Jones riding on Mego's shoulders. That would be my new Freeze.
We're just going to start conducting 40-yard dashes all week now. Yeah, who's the fastest? Who could be the Freeze?
By the way, Bruins, they're all just beating the hell out of each other right now. It's pretty cool. Anyway, that's not for me, I don't think, unfortunately. I'm going to have to bow out of... I'm going to have to withdraw my name from consideration.
I do want to express my condolences for you. We found out that Travis Hunter is out for the season because of that knee injury. So I want to give you the platform to send your well wishes to Travis Hunter. And I've even got some music all queued up for you. So go ahead and say your farewell to Travis Hunter for his rookie year.
Well, Travis, this rookie year didn't quite go how we thought it would. Me and the rest of the Team 12. The LCL, I believe, is what he had problems with. I didn't even know there was an LCL. I've heard of the ACL, the MCL, the UCL. There's an LCL. There's too many CLs, okay? That's the problem. You'd think we'd have evolved as a species by now that we don't need all these CLs in our knees. But unfortunately, he had the LCL repaired in Dallas. No additional damage to the knee. That's good news. And he will be able to return to full football activities in 6 months. But, yeah, it was a non-contact injury during practice. And it's too bad because his last game was his best game. He caught 8 passes for 104 yards in his first touchdown as the Jaguars got their asses handed to them by the LA Rams in London in Week 7. But my man Travis flashed. And I know there's people there saying they shouldn't have wasted that fourth pick on him because he wasn't that good as a receiver and he also wasn't that good as a corner. He is a rookie, first of all, and he was hitting his stride. Unfortunately, in hitting his stride, he also tore his LCL or whatever the hell it is. He finishes the year 28 catches, 298 yards, 1 touchdown on defense, 15 tackles, 3 pass breakups. He played 67% of the team's offensive snaps, 36% of the defensive snaps. Until his injury. Travis, get better, my friend. Come back next year and stun on those hoes. That's all I have to say about that. But I'm Team Travis Hunter till the end. That's my guy.
Well, I'm glad we got that one out of the way. Arkin, I'm curious. When Disney started making live-action movies, were you a yay? Were you a nay? On the general concept, how did you feel about Disney going into that route?
Which ones do you mean?
just as a whole, I think it started with, I think, like Beauty and the Beast, but then they've like covered all the other ones. Or no, Jungle Book they actually started with. But
For live action movies?
Yeah.
Going back like to like Treasure Island and stuff? Or
I think it was 2016. They just adapted the old animated
films. Oh, and then made them into real
life? And made them into live action ones.
Okay. I don't know. I don't see that many movies. I should be trying to get more into this now that I have a son who's of age to be watching these movies. All he cares about is trains, though. Like, you sit down for a movie, it's like hard to even really get that going. I don't have strong feelings about that one way or the other. I will say that I'm very tired of Hollywood in general just recycling all these old shows and old movies. I'm very, very tired of that. Vince Gilligan, who has a new show out called Pluribus. Have you heard about Pluribus?
I have not.
Okay, so Vince Gilligan is the guy who made Breaking Bad. He's the guy who made Better Call Saul. And he was big-time instrumental in The X-Files, back when The X-Files was really popular. A lot of the best X-Files episodes were written and directed by this guy, Vince Gilligan. And then he went on and did Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And now he's got a new show out with, what's-her-name from Better Call Saul, with Kim Wexler, whose real name is Rhea Seehorn, I think. And she's the star. And it's, I don't want to really explain too much of it because only the first two episodes have been released. It's on Apple TV. I think you can also watch it on Amazon Prime, maybe. It's one of the best pilots and first two episodes of any show I've ever seen. And it's super unique and it's its own thing. And that's what I like. And I like that Vince Gilligan, he came out and he said it. He goes, this generation doesn't have any stories that are their own. This generation of, you know, people who consume media, all they get are the old boomer movies and the old Gen X movies and the old millennial movies and TV shows rebooted for the new audience because we can't come up with anything on our own. And that sucks. And that's true. I mean, that's a real truth about the way things have been made. You know, there's not a lot of new stuff out there. It's just reboots left and right all over the place. And those are the ones that get the most push because those are the ones that have the biggest audiences. No one wants to take a chance on a new show unless there's someone like Gilligan attached to it. And I'm glad. I'm glad that he's continuing to make stuff like that because the first two episodes of Pluribus, anyway, were awesome. Oh, were they awesome. But as far as Disney and anybody else who just keeps rebooting all their old crap over and over again, I'm so tired of it. I can't believe that this is still the way that machine is working. You know, come up with something out. Come up with something for this generation, for these young kids that they can grow up with and look back on and say, oh, yeah, this was like the movie that defined our generation. Like, even when it comes to teen comedies, you had American Pie for in the 90s. You had Superbad. You know, you had all these different kinds. Now you don't have anything like that. When's the last teen comedy that came out? I can't even think of one. You know, it's just it sucks. I'm kind of down on that in general. But as far as Disney's concerned, you know, like, you want to make live-action movies, make new ones. That's how I feel.
Well, I'm guessing then I know your answer to the question I wanted to get to.
Which I thought that was the question.
Well, it's a two-parter. I wanted to get your opinion, but then I wanted to get to the actual news, which is that they're going to make a live-action Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, down, out. No, forget it. I don't want to. Screw that. Alice in Wonderland. What, we need another Alice in Wonderland? Really? Is that what we need? How about we get another new Avengers movie, too? You know, let's get another whatever. Like, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of it. What do we need a new version of Alice in freaking Wonderland for? Can anyone write a story? Can anyone in the world write a goddamn story on their own without just booting up some old show or some old movie or some old story or something like that? Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Get AI to do it for you if you don't want to do it yourself. But can we please get some new stuff? That's what I'd like to see. Answer your question. I'm out on all that crap. I want some new stuff.
We got a feisty Arcan fire. And then, one more thing before we get to the producer's point, as we do every Tuesday here in the Arcan fire, give me your NFL takeaway from week 10 that is non-Patriots related.
NFL takeaway from week 10 that is non-Patriots related.
Could be about any team, any player, whatever you want.
Okay. Let's see. Who had the worst loss of the week? I'd say San Francisco getting smoked by the Rams. That was pretty bad for them. You know what? I'll give you a take on that game last night. That was two of the best teams in the NFC, two of the best teams in the league. Both of them considered to be, you know, the Eagles, the reigning champions, the Green Bay Packers. They've been out there this whole time. I would say that that was one of the least watchable games I've ever seen. And I know that there was another 10-7 game this week with Denver and in Las Vegas. At the very least, you can say, well, Vegas was there, and they played down to Vegas's level. These are two good teams, Philadelphia and Green Bay. And that was like a trip to the dentist. Oh, that game was brutal. I turned it off and turned it back on, and it was still no score. I was like, are you serious? 10-7? That was, I don't know. Every week I feel like another team that you look at and say, oh, that team could really do it this year, just puts up an embarrassing performance. That is, I feel like that happens week in and week out, and you got it again this week. And the Eagles and the Packers, for that matter, one of the teams had the win, but they both should be embarrassed by that performance last night.
Well, let's put that one away and talk about Week 11 with our Steam Chaser of the Week. Arkan, look at the slate for Week 11 in the NFL. Who are you chasing the steam on early on?
Okay, well, taking a look at what's coming up here, let me pull up these numbers here. And when it comes to chasing the steam, for those who are uninitiated who don't know, that happens when there is a big discrepancy between the amount of bets versus the amount of money getting wagered. So, for example, the Patriots and the Jets, right? 6% of the bets are on the Jets on the money line. 21% of the money is on the Jets on the money line, though. So there are some people out there who still don't believe, some big, you know, big bettors who don't believe in the Patriots yet and think this could be a trap game and that the Jets could surprise them. The Jets have won two in a row. I don't think that's possible, but there is a little bit of that. As far as the rest of the games, in terms of big-time discrepancies, there aren't a ton of them. However, there are a few. For example, Green Bay, -7 at the Giants. Coming off of that loss to the Eagles, they are 46% of the bets, 57% of the money. The Seattle Seahawks, +3.5 against the Rams, getting 72% of the bets, 80% of the money. And there's biggest one, I would say, would be the Chiefs, who are in Denver, -3.5 or -4, depending on which book you look at. The Chiefs, 57% of the bets, 80% of the money. I'd imagine that line moves a little bit. That, so far, is the steamiest one that I've seen on the board. The Chiefs, it seems like everybody thinks it's going to be a tough, hard-nosed, hard-fought game there in Denver against the Broncos and Bo Nix. But the big bettors, the big whales, they're all looking at it and saying, yeah, the Chiefs are going to cover that, and they're going to cover it easily. And that is this week's edition of Chasing the Steam.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
Going to make this one very short and sweet. My reaction after last Sunday shows me one thing, that this team in the New England Patriots should win the AFC East, and that should be the minimum for how they get into the postseason. They allow themselves the two-game buffer leading with the Bills. Not only did the Bills lose while you beat Tampa, but you also have the tiebreaker over them. Plus your schedule, as Stephen A. Smith liked to say, are cupcakes. You got the Jets. You got the Bengals with or without Joe Burrow. You got the Giants. So I fully expect this Patriots team to enter the postseason as AFC East champs and get themselves a home playoff game.
All right, there you go. That is the producer's point from Joe Braverman, bullish on the Patriots and liking their playoff chances. All right, one thing left to do, and that is clickbait. We got that for you next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's time for clickbait. This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Couple of minutes left here in the program, Christian Arcan Show. Thanks for sticking with us here tonight. And with these last few minutes, it's time for clickbait. And it's a musical clickbait tonight. I'm not a big fan of beauty pageants. I don't hate them or anything. I'm just not some huge fan. Miss Universe, all these things, you know, when they're on, even like the Victoria's Secret thing. I'll watch it for a minute, and then it's like, okay, well, there they go, and there they go, and these girls are pretty good looking, but, you know, what do you want from me? It's just, it's not, after a while, as you see them walk up and walk back, I'm not really that into the outfits, I don't really care. It's just sort of, it's like, all right, I get kind of bored. It's like being at a parade, you know, it's like, yep, there they go, okay, yep. Is this thing over yet? Like, you know, like, what else am I waiting to see here? You know, there they go. However, I was stopped in my tracks by a clip that I saw from a beauty pageant, Miss Chile, Miss World Chile 2025. A young lady was part of the competition. Her name is Ignacia Fernandez. She is a 27-year-old model, an animal activist, and also a vocalist. That was her talent. You know, you do the talent portion. Sometimes, you know, you'll have the girl, like, twirl a baton or play the piano or, you know, do a backflip or whatever it is that their talent happens to be. It's all sorts of different things. This young lady's talent was singing. And so they said, okay, Ignacia, we're ready to hear you sing. And what you may also not know about Ignacia Fernandez is that she is the lead vocalist for the progressive death metal band Decesis, or Decesis. I don't know how to pronounce it. Which she co-founded in 2020. And for the talent portion of the World Chile pageant, she performed an original unreleased song from her band alongside her bandmate, guitarist Carlos Palma. And here is that how that performance went. There. I don't know what she was saying, but I liked it. I don't know what she was saying in that. And I've heard death metal before. I'm not like a death metal guy. I'm not out there going to death metal shows and listening for that or whatever. That was, give me a little bit more of that. If we could. Yeah, that's cool. Seeing like a hot model singing like that, I don't know why. There's something about it. That makes me like it more. I realize this about myself, that I often don't appreciate a song until I hear like a cover of it, until I hear like another band cover it, and then I appreciate the song more. I know that's weird. You should just appreciate songs when they come out, right? But for me, I don't know why this is. I'll hear like a pop song, right? Like, take, for example, Toxic by Britney Spears. When that song was out, I didn't really think much of it. It was a Britney Spears song, whatever. And then Mark Ronson covered that song with this band called the Tiggers, and they're like a brass band, and they got old Dirty Bastard vocals. It was after he died, but they had like saved vocals of him recording for some other thing, and they included that in the song too. And they had this guy singing, you know, Toxic over this cool sort of funky, jazzy instrumental with old Dirty Bastard rap verses in between it. And I was listening to it, and I was like, man, Toxic's a really good song. Like, this is a really good song. I never really listened to it before. But then you hear, like, a new version of it, and I don't know why. I appreciated the lyrics more. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, I like this. And then I'd hear the Britney Spears version, and I liked it more than I liked it before. And that's happened to me with a whole bunch of songs. You know, all sorts of songs that I hear them, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then I hear a cover of it, and I'm like, that's a good song, you know? It's weird. I don't know why that is. It's a weird thing about me and my musical taste, I guess. But I'll tell you what, I'd never really listened to much death metal. I might check it out now that I've seen this hot Chilean chick screaming whatever that song. Why, can you just get a little bit more just because the voice is so great? I mean, really. You see her there. Nah, yeah. Yeah, I dig it. I'm into that. I'm into it. What can I say? Maybe it's because the woman doing it's remarkably attractive. Like one of the hottest women in the world. Certainly one of the hottest in Chile. She won the contest, by the way. She is Miss Chile. So bravo to her. Bravo.
Do you think that put her over the top?
Absolutely, I do. I don't think anybody would be talking about the Miss Chile pageant unless Miss Danzig over here didn't go crazy like that. And that's all the time we have here tonight. I want to say thanks to Doug Kide for coming on. Great to talk with him. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock for another full four-hour show. Myself, Joe Braverman, great job. We'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Good night now. Travis, get better, my friend. Come back next year and stun on those hoes.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.